listening to The Edward Fowler Show. Now, here's your host, Edward Fowler.
Welcome to another episode on my favourite podcast site. And, we've probably been a bit slow in releases this week. This is going to be your two episodes, but in fact, I only brought you one. So apologies for that. But we do have a new episode for you, though, for this week's episode, because of the fact that earlier this week I had a great chat with a great personality in the world of wrestling who currently works for New Japan Pro Wrestling with the Dojo and Academy shows, and also working other shows in the area. So it was great to chat with Jordan Castle, and you're going to hear all sorts of different topics being discussed, including his mixed views on what he's been told about the UK. So hopefully he gets the chance to come over here and get his own views on about our culture and about how wet it's not always is over here. But for right now, though, here is the full conversation in full. I reached out to this guest on social media, back in March, I think it was. The reason I came across you, I came across your work through, I think, a mutual connection on Instagram. And I thought, well, I liked what I saw. So I did a bit of a stalking on your profile, and I liked what you were doing. And I thought you'd be a great guest. So I reached out to you, and then I got a bit eager. So I thought I'll leave a comment, because unfortunately Instagram's updated their settings now. So you can't just keep DMing the person. Once you send a DM, you have to wait until they accept it. So I thought, how can I get this person to react to me? So I thought I'll just do a comment for that thing, which I did mean about it. I did like the photo dump you did on St. Patrick's Day.
I appreciate that, bro.
So I thought I'll use that a part of my message. Hopefully you think that I am legit and not just kind of some spam bot account or something. And next thing I knew, you then reached out to me, and this is how we got it today. So please welcome along broadcaster, ring announcer, and commentator Jordan Castle.
Welcome. Hello, my show. Thank you for having me. I'm really glad we made it happen. Again, I'm sorry that it took this long for it to happen. Like you said, Instagram and that whole system with messages and whatnot is all screwed up. Yes. So I'm very, very glad that we were able to, find each other and make this work. And I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to chat.
Yes. No, actually, thank you so much for your time, because you're now in the honors books of being a part of this legendary show of some great guests before you, and I'm sure after you as well. So it's a pleasure to include you in that. And on that subject, before you reached out to me via DM, did you actually look at my profile to make sure I was legit before wasting your time before responding?
I did indeed, man. You mentioned the stock. I took a little stock myself, and it looked legit. And happy to be here, man. You run a tech ship, and I'm happy to be on it.
Well, the thing I like about the show is because it's unscripted. There is no scripts. I can go off whatever I like. So it's I think that's why it's a good chemistry, because we have a good time with all my guests, and I try and make them feel all welcome, and hopefully that they will come back on someday. Some of them can't get back in contact with for some reason, so it's a bit of a shame. But on another note, it's a pleasure to be on the show. And whereabouts are you right now? Are you in the West Coast at the moment still?
Yes, sir. In California, living
sunny California,
sunny Los Angeles, and it's getting. I'll tell you what, it's getting increasingly sunnier. People always say I'm from Boston originally, the East Coast of the U.S. So I've had people from back home say, "Oh, you're so lucky. It's so sunny. It's so warm all the time." But that's actually not the case. The winters are they're legit, man. They're not quite the same as East Coast winters or even European winters. But they can definitely get a little chilly, especially in the December, January months, especially later in the day. And it's kind of starting to turn a corner now where it's really getting consistently warm. So maybe I'll get sick of it. Maybe the hotter and longer it gets, maybe I'll be ready for some chilliness again. But as of right now, it is beautiful and sunny, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, there's my Boston accent for you in a moment. So, good old Boston.
Okay.
Do you think I could fit in as a Bostonian, as you probably would say?
It's, It's not the worst I've heard, is what I'll tell you. It's certainly not the worst I've heard. Man.
That's good to know, because I can do Boston. I can do New Jersey.
All right.
Or even New York. So
okay. I love it.
Planning for them for years, just in case sometime I can get the to use that someday. But I mean, how is life out in California compared to your homeland of Boston? Then
there it is. Had to get it in a rule of threes.
Yes.
It's great, man. Honestly, it is. Just graduated from school, from college, uni, as I believe y'all say, back in May of this past year, and ever since then have just been living and working and trying to make ends meet while still chasing the wrestling dream. But it's been great, man. I really can't complain. I think there's always trepidation when you move from one chapter to the next. But I feel very secure, very happy with where I'm at. No complaints for me. I mean, there's always complaints, right? There's always little kind of day-to-day things, but all in all, I feel very lucky to honestly say that I'm very happy and I'm very content, and I like where things are right now from a personal standpoint, from a professional standpoint. Life is good.
Good to hear. I'm glad you are settling into life and enjoying life. And again, congratulations on graduating over there. And we'll dive into that in a few minutes or so, because I might have some false information maybe for once, but we'll get into that in a moment. But I want to know, firstly, what was your passion of what you studied at college then? What made you to go into that aspect of things?
So I went to school for screen acting, which is very funny. It's maybe the most useless degree you can actually get, in the sense that, like, you're rarely gonna go to a job and you're rarely going to apply for screen acting. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, in practice, if that's a trade you're trying to learn, then that's great. But as far as actually, you know, applying it to make money and to get a job from it, you're not going to find a lot. But to be honest with you, I always knew that I wanted to work in wrestling, and I always knew that I wanted to pursue this dream of being an announcer, being a commentator. And there is obviously not a track to be a ring announcing major or a pro wrestling commentary major. You could do broadcast journalism, and I considered that, and sometimes think back and think maybe I should have done that. But honestly, man, I knew that I wouldn't be putting my college degree to use practically. I just knew it was sort of a good thing to have as a working adult person in the US, for better or worse. I think that's kind of crazy that you need to have it, but that is what you need. And I knew that that was just something I needed from a practical sense. And I knew that, to be honest with you, my folks would kill me if I didn't get it. And so I said, all right, let's do something that I know that I'm half decent at, with acting, with screen acting. I know that it's, you know, something that I can have fun with. I'm not gonna be, you know, breaking my ass or working my tail off to do this. And I don't regret it. Again, I joke about it being a useless degree, but I got a degree, which is half the battle, and I met some really incredible people. And I do think at the end of the day, some of the skills that I've gleaned and learned from that, I still use a lot in wrestling, and even some in just everyday life. So I use this degree in some ways, but I definitely don't regret it. And I had a great time. It was a great ride. So, yeah.
Yeah, good to hear. Nice story. Useless degree or not, it might come in useful someday. And you mentioned about as well that there's no commentary course or ring announcing course. Maybe you should invent it. Maybe you should be the creator of that in these colleges in America. Maybe you should invent that kind of course.
Well, I appreciate that. I would say that I would probably need a little bit more experience under my belt to find the credibility to do that and to create that. And I also don't know if I'm that good a teacher, to be honest with you. But I do appreciate you saying that and you thinking that. I think it'd be a great thing. Honestly, I really do. I think especially with professional wrestling becoming more and more of a bigger niche, and you know, you hear all this talk now of like wrestling's cool again, and you have this real groundswell of fervor and fan love with everything, you know, going on with WWE right now, and AEW is still crushing it, and New Japan and the indies are hot as they've ever been. So, I mean, hey, I would be the biggest proponent of that there could possibly be. And if there's anything I could do to make something like that happen, that would be fantastic. Sign me up. But as far as actually creating it from the ground up and being the face of that, I don't know. I feel like maybe get another decade or two under my belt, and then maybe we'll talk. But you never know.
Okay. Okay. So I'll do this. I'm going to publicly say, in 20 years from now,
okay,
you will come back on this show, okay, if you're not, of course, in some majestic company, which probably in 20 years you probably will be. You'll probably be the next big thing out there. So I'm going to put out a record right now. Hopefully, in 20 years, somewhere or another, we could bring you back on this show if this is still around in 20 years. And we'll see if you have created some kind of a cause or something. Or maybe that might be one of your goals to come, to do something like that. Because as I say, if you don't try it, you will never know if you'll succeed it or not.
It's true. Do or do not. There is no try, as Yoda once said, I believe.
There we go. Look at me. I'm
2044. Yes. I'm here. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's weird to say that in 2024, but yeah, looking for 2044. Bring it on. I look forward to that. Maybe it might be in person. You never know.
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly, right? But you mentioned about, as well, you know, of course, the pro wrestling being pro wrestling again and being able to use that word because, of course, for many years, in many decades, it's always been as, well, in the big leagues, as sports entertainment. So you've come on to a sports and entertainment show, like I did there. And what do you think has been the highlight then? Has that increased your... I guess exposure to being involved even more than maybe when you first began in the world of wrestling, because of course a lot of things have changed over the past 2 years and, you know, all that. But I mean, do you think that's increased your love, or do you think your love is the same as today that it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'd say it's definitely it's tough to say. I think my love of professional wrestling has been pretty steady. You know, I've really always loved this stuff. I've really always you know, found both professionally and personally solace in the art of professional wrestling. And I feel like in a lot of ways it didn't go away. Like, yes, WWE, you talk specifically, they've started to use that verbiage again. They're really changing a lot and evolving a lot and doing some really exciting new stuff under Triple H that is great to see. Like, I watched WrestleMania and I thought that show top to bottom was fantastic. I'm not ashamed to say that I cried at the main event. I think they're doing some really, really great stuff. And I love that they're embracing pro wrestling again, both articulating that, both saying this is what we're going to call this and this is what we're going to brand this, but also just in the way it's presented. Because it's very easy to just change two words, right? It's very easy to go from sports entertainment to pro wrestling. But to actually change the way you present and have a more pro wrestling based presentation and not be afraid to bleed a little or curse a little and really tell these long-term stories, which is, like, I know, a so overused piece of cannon fodder there, long-term story, but it really is what they're doing. And to reward the audience's intelligence and focus as opposed to doing the opposite. And again, really listen to the audience. Like, we've seen all of that in recent months in a way that didn't really happen at that mainstream WWE level. So I think in that sense, pro wrestling is back, and that's been awesome. And I'll definitely tell you straight up that my watching and my enjoyment of that company has been tenfold since they've made that shift. But in a lot of ways, I don't think professional wrestling went away. I mean, I think you look at, like I mentioned, AEW or New Japan or the independent scene, TNA, I could go on and on and on and on and on. Professional wrestling in those places, in those circles, has not gone away. If anything, it's only become more and more prevalent. And I would never tell anyone what to watch or what not to watch, but I think if you feel like something is missing, whether that's a type of presentation or a type of match or whatever it is, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't branch out and try to watch everything. That's not to say you have to stop watching what you've always watched or what you're watching right now, because I think there's time enough. I was going to say there's time enough for everything, but I'm not sure if that's true, because there's a lot of gosh darn wrestling out there. But my point being that expand your horizons, because you say, you know, professional wrestling is, has come back. I would say that it's always been here. And I love that more places, and specifically one place, is starting to adhere to that and evolve with that. But pro wrestling, it didn't go anywhere. And so I've loved it for 15 years, and I'll continue to love it for 15 more. I'll still love it in 2044 when I'm back, you know, on the show for a second time.
Well, hopefully be back on before 2044, but that was that goal we set earlier, obviously. But yeah, I completely agree with you about statement, because I did mention you've got AEW, you've got, of course, as you're sitting right behind the lovely plug which you set yourself up for with the New Japan Pro Wrestling, and as well TNA and Ring of Honor and all these other great indie shows all around the world, all blowing up in the year 2024. And you know, it's great to see all of that. And where do you, you know, I guess, get your inspiration from, where you want to be in, let's say, a year or two from now? Obviously you're already working upwards in New Japan Pro Wrestling by doing the academy / dojo shows, so where do you want to go, hopefully with that as well? Maybe get onto the main platforms of that promotion, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to continue my work with New Japan in any capacity. I've loved the couple of academy showcases I've had the fortune to call, and any opportunity to be back there, like you mentioned, a higher platform, whether that's New Japan Strong, whether that's Japan itself, would be incredible. You know, Walker Stewart, who is the lead English play-by-play for New Japan, he's a dear friend of mine. And someone that I talk to pretty regularly. And I put a tweet about this out about this a couple weeks back, so it's no secret. But someday soon, I know a goal for both of us is to work for New Japan together. So whether that's one of the academy showcases at the dojo, whether that's New Japan Strong, whether that's in Japan, I don't know. All of those sound like great options to me. And I think you talk to someone and you say, hey, do you want to be on the call for a show streaming to, you know, tens of thousands of people on Fight with however many 5,000 people watching in an arena? Like, I think you'd be crazy to say you don't want that. So definitely working towards that, and definitely building brick by brick. But at the same time, man, I don't know. It's going to sound like such a political answer, and I really don't mean it to. But I think it's so important to live in the now and to live in the moment. I never want to be one of those people who looks back on this great career I've had, because in a very short time, I've done some pretty remarkable things. And that's not me bragging. That's just me talking about how grateful I am to have been to those places and met those people and worked these shows. And I never want to look back 10, 20, when I'm back in the podcast in 20 years.
It keeps going out there. It'd be on a bit earlier than that, believe me.
Well, sure. But I want to keep that plug going so people put it in their calendar.
I appreciate it.
But in any case, of course, yeah. In any case, I never want to look back all these years later and be like, man, I was doing all this cool stuff. I was living this dream, and I never got to enjoy it because I was so busy and so set on getting to the next thing and growing bigger and you know, reaching that next rung on the ladder, that I never smelled the roses and I never actually enjoyed what I was doing in the moment. And I think it would be a disservice to myself and a disservice to what I'm doing to just kind of brush that off and not live in the moment and really enjoy it. And that's not to say I want to be complacent, right? That's not to say I don't want to think about the next thing and work towards the next thing and shoot for the stars, because I absolutely do. But at the same time, I try not to think too specifically about, well, I need to get signed in this amount of years and I need to be in this company and I need to be making this much money and I need to be working with this person. It's like, no, I am living a dream right now. And of course, I want to be, you know, at a place where I can quit my day job and this can be everything and I can be traveling the world and I can be in front of tens of thousands of people. I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't. But I'm not necessarily in any hurry to get there. Because like I said, man, I am extraordinarily happy some days are better than others, right? Everyone has off days, but I am extraordinarily happy. And why would I wish that happiness away when I could just live in that and enjoy the journey? As Miley Cyrus said, it's the climb, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We always improve every day, and we try to keep learning as much as we can as well. I think that's very important to include in that. And, you know, because you never know, one day someone might be watching or listening and think, wow, yes, we need to get this guy on board.
I hope so, man.
Well, that's it. You can only live by each day and just keep improving, because you never know who's going to be watching or listening or even reading or seeing what you're posting as well. So that's also very tricky to keep in an hour, isn't it? To make sure that they meet the criteria you're representing as well. And just a few things to mention. Of course, Fight is now known as Thriller TV. I have to mention that because they follow me on Twitter. So if they do, or say on X, so if they do watch this or listen to this, then they might think, oh yeah, he needs to make sure we include that. I'm not, of course, plugged by them, but just in case those people, whoever they are, decided to watch or listen to this. I don't know why they follow me, but they do. So I very much appreciate Thriller TV. One of my favorite people, I guess, platforms in the world now to watch all these great professional wrestling and all these boxing and all these other events they do now, because they kind of branched out from those pro wrestling, which is great to see. So, but yeah, it's a pleasure to be followed by Thriller TV. Talk to us then about inspiration. So who inspired you then to go down the road as being as a ring announcer / commentator then? Because many people are thinking, you could be a great wrestler, or don't you want to be getting, I don't know, beat up every week or whatever?
No.
I will pay to see that.
I appreciate that. I think there's a fair few amount of people who would. No, man, I was on a dear friend Squint's podcast, a man in his podcast. Not to plug another podcast while I'm on there, but there's room for everyone. There's room enough for everyone to, you know, eat at the table. He asked me something similar. And I told him, like, I have all the respect in the world for, you know, wrestlers and wrestling. You have to, if you're involved in this, you're a fool if you don't. But I was never a terribly athletic person, even from childhood, and was also kind of a wuss since childhood. And so the idea of, you know, falling on my back and falling from the top of a ladder or jumping off a top rope or doing any of that just did not appeal to me. The dream was always to be a ring announcer specifically. I never had anything against commentary. It just never was something that I even thought of or conceived of. It was always ring announcing. It was always, you know, Justin Roberts and Tony Chimmel and Howard Finkel. That was what I saw, and that's what I wanted to be. And as I started to kind of break into the business and work more in wrestling, more of the opportunities I got were commentary. These places would say, well, you know, we already have a ring announcer, but we can, you know, stick you on the pre-show for commentary, or we can make it a three-man booth, or we can stick you in here. And I said, sure, count me in. You know, I'm here. I'd love to do this. And funnily enough, you know, you talk about never knowing where life can go and not preparing too much for any one outcome or looking ahead too much towards any one outcome. Ironically, I think commentary is what I've gotten the most work in, what I've found the most consistent success in, and what I've, to be honest with you, thrive the most in. I think I'm a good ring announcer. You know, I'm proud of my work there, and I still do it. Just last week, I had 2 ring announcing bookings here in SoCal. But I definitely have found more consistency and more success through ring announcing. And call it the chicken or the egg. I don't know if I'm better because I've done it more consistently or if I've done it more consistently because I'm better at it. But I do think commentary is my strong suit, and it's where I've thrived, and it's where I've really found a voice. And to that end, I've just kind of fell in love with it, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, this a different side of the same coin, right? It's telling a story into a microphone about pro wrestling and helping to assist that story and bring it forward. And if anything with commentary, it's even more so. You know, ring announcing, you set that scene, you set that tone, you give these people these superstar introductions, but once the match is done, you're out until it's over. With commentary, you are actively a part of that match, and you are actively telling that story and filling in the blanks and being a part of crafting that narrative. And it's a really cool thing. So your question, I digress in the words of Taz. I definitely got off topic from what your original question was. But as far as inspirations originally, like I said, you know, Justin Roberts, Tony Chimmel, Howard Finkel, growing up wanting to be a ring announcer. And now as I've evolved into a commentator and done that more, I mean, I think Michael Cole is the greatest of all time. I think he's fantastic. You know, his work now, I'm so glad he's had this renaissance and people are finally taking notice of how good he is, because I think he is phenomenal. I mean, there's so many great broadcasters, right? I mentioned Taz a few moments ago. I think Taz is fantastic. I think Don West and Mike Tenay from the golden age of TNA are spectacular. I mean, there's too many great inspirations to name, and I've actually had the fortune of working with a good number of them. So I consider myself very lucky in that way. Not any of the names I've listed, but some other. And I would have loved to work with, you know, Taz and Tanae and all those guys, yeah. Maybe someday. But no, I there's a lot of people that I look up to. Again, even now, like I'm saying, peers, even people that I work with regularly now, I watch their work, I listen to their work, and I say, man, you are fantastic. And I can take this and glean this and use this to grow. So too many to name. But some really fantastic people.
Yes, you did. I was quite surprised you didn't mention three people or four people.
Talk to me.
From that list. Of course, you got the boxing goat, Michael Buffer, you know, with the "Let's get ready to rumble." And then you've got the voice of the Octagon, Bruce Buffer. It's time! And then you've got, of course, good old JR, you can't forget about him.
Or even
Jerry the King Lawler. You know, if the audience screams, even I can do those. You know, I should be good. I could mimic the King on commentary, like my puppies.
They're great, man. This the King and JR are fantastic. I was just watching some late Attitude Era Ruthless Aggression stuff the other day, and they are fantastic, man. Talk about chemistry. JR still killing it. Wrote a fantastic autobiography. I just finished listening to. I listened to the audiobook of that on a recent trip back from Vegas. But they're great. And same with the Buffers. I found this out pretty recently. They are long lost brothers. Like separated at birth. I think Bruce is a little younger than Michael.
Correct.
But yeah, the story there is amazing. Yeah, all four of those guys, definite inspirations, definite goats for sure.
Yes, absolutely are. And you know, it's just surprising, because you know, if I was hired, you'd be hearing all those and all those screams, because I could do the high pitched voice perfectly fine. And
I love it.
it's just natural. And I always thought when I was listening to the King, I wonder when my voice eventually breaks, would I still be able to do those high pitched voice like the King does? And yes, I can. So it looks like me and the King.
Amazing.
You know, on the same brain length with those screams and all the excitement of those errors which you just mentioned a moment ago. But talk to us about, of course, New Japan Pro Wrestling, about the shows you've been able to be a part of, and all the upcoming events you're going to be involved with New Japan Pro Wrestling, one of the longest promotions out there.
Yes, sir. Existing since 1972. Mm. It's been a dream come true. You know, I wish I could put it into words, to be honest with you. I've talked about this beforehand. I've talked about it even on air. And you know, it's tough, because how do you articulate that, right? How do you put into words something so monumental, something so special? It's New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's the king of sports, the litany of incredible names that have built the foundation of that place are numerous and incredible. And the fact that this early on in my career, less than 3 years into my career, I'm getting to join that broadcast booth is unbelievable, especially considering they are the Academy showcases. They are the dojo showcases.
But doesn't matter.
No, not if anything, I think it's fantastic. You know,
yes.
I I am so privileged to be a part of that, because it's the next generation. It's these people who are just starting to break in, these people who are just finding their footing in New Japan. So we're on really similar playing fields in that sense. You know, it's not people who are former IWGP champions. It's not people who have wrestled in the Tokyo Dome and been there for decades. It's people who are at a very similar position to me, in that they are sharing that joy and they're feeling that buzz of what it's like to see that red light turn on and be a part of New Japan Pro Wrestling for the first time. And I think there's something really, really special in that, that I get to share that with all these great Academy graduates and all these great Academy alumni. Yeah. That they too have that feeling of what it's like to be a part of this for the first time, and that intangible buzz. It's a dream come true, man. It really is. I call me hyperbolic, call me melodramatic if you want, but it is a dream come true. And I have been so lucky and so fortunate to do it twice now as part of NJPW Academy, and hope for many more. You know, they begin the summer course starting May 20th. So we'll see what happens. But as of right now, I've done those two, and they have been an absolute dream. I've done them with Mark Warzeka, who is as good a dance partner as you can ask for. And have really, really loved every second of it. I cannot say enough good things about the experience working as part of NJPW Academy. It's been a dream come true.
That, you know, I hope that each and every show is lit, and hopefully the fans will keep coming out to witness the very best of the future of New Japan Pro Wrestling from the US, and hopefully see them all go to Japan like yourself, and be on those bigger and in front of thousands of people in the years to come. But let's talk about, you know, your experiences on some local shows as well, because of course, as you mentioned, you go to many different shows on the west coast of the USA, and you get to work with some fantastic people. But I mean, have you ever thought about being, maybe if you say the one thing on commentary or on the mic when you're in the ring with them, that they might come after you and maybe beat you up for not liking something you've said or said in front of them?
I mean, I've had some close calls. Just this past Wednesday, I worked Ariane Andrew, of course formerly known as WWE's Cameron. She runs a promotion called Pound Town Wrestling out here in Southern California. And I actually co-hosted a show with Canada's Drag Race's Scarlett Bobo, a great drag queen. And she got a little feisty. She was chasing after me. There's a great picture I posted on Twitter.
Yes.
Just yesterday of her making a jump at me. So I've definitely had some close calls. This past WrestleMania weekend, as part of Pandemonium Pro Wrestling, I was super kicked in the face by Jack Evans.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So you know, I've got some battle scars, man. Like I said, I'm a wuss. I'm not one to be in there bumping regularly and wrestling any matches. But I've definitely gotten my battle scars. I've definitely gotten my war wounds. So I mean, that's the risk you got to take, brother. That's the you know, there's the perks of the job as far as living a dream and traveling the world and meeting amazing people and calling these incredible matches. And then there's the parts of the job that aren't so pretty. And that's, you know, maybe getting super kicked or attacked or intimidated by these large, scary people. But it's just the risk you run, man.
Well, where was the referee to make that super kick not happen, for instance? Where was he? Was he too scared?
It was referee Scarlett Donovan. It's funny, two Scarlett, Scarlett Bobo of Canada's Drag Race, and then Scarlett Donovan, who's a fantastic referee based in SoCal, but travels all around for GCW, Game Changer Wrestling. Can't say enough about Scarlett. She's great. But
don't know about that. If she didn't protect you, I think she's quite useless.
Ring, yeah, she doesn't
useless.
Do anything. I mean,
yeah, she's quite useless as a job, you know?
Quite useless in terms of me, you know. Maybe she had some type of vendetta with me.
Or maybe she was paid off by the person, you know, bit of some money on the side, you know. She needs to be held responsible as well. You know, she put a complaint against her.
It's true. No, it's very true. The Hollywood Underground, Jack Evans, John Morrison, Mundo Impact, Elite, superstar, whatever you want to call him, TV now in AEW. Those two and Taya Valkyrie comprise the Hollywood Underground and Pandemonium Pro Wrestling. I believe they hold all the gold as it stands. And they are certainly not short of cash. So I would not be shocked if they, you know, played it a little funny and maybe paid a certain someone off. But also, I don't know. You know, I like Scarlett. Me and her have always been cool. And I think she's someone who, she's a professional. She takes her job very seriously. So I'm not sure. These are pretty heavy accusations to be thrown around.
Well, maybe not serious enough at a job, maybe. You know, I think there's a few other people out there who I think would have done a better job than Scarlett would have done. Okay, let's put it there. Okay, so
you said it, not me. You know, you said it, not me.
I'm happy to go on record. You know, over the past 5 years, I've said a lot of things on this show. You know, I've called a lot of people out and all of that. So, you know, Scarlett, feel free to respond. I would love to know what you think about that, because, you know, you're probably going to say, oh no, I wasn't paid off, I was just doing my job, blah blah blah. But yeah, same old same old.
I think Scarlett's great. I don't have enough good things unless you're told differently. If I find out she was paid off by Johnny Mundo and Jack Evans, then maybe we'll have a problem. But as it stands, can't say enough great things about Scarlett. Booker, she's great.
I love that. On that note, let's also talk about your social media. Of course, but you can find my guest on X and on Instagram at the same handles. With a like, you keep it nice and simple. You keep it as JordanW_S.
Yes, sir.
What does the W and the underscore S stand for, by the way?
So my middle name, IRL in real life, it's William Samuel. I have two middle names named after both of my grandfathers. So William and Samuel, we smushed them together. Thank you. And originally, before I worked in wrestling and started using Castle and started going by a more traditional first last name situation. I've been online in wrestling for over 10 years. Like, I first made my Twitter account when I was 12 years old. I had a YouTube account a little bit before that. So, I mean, I've had this stuff for a little while. I've been online in the sort of wrestling bubble, the IWC bubble, for a very long time. And when I had a YouTube channel, when I had a Twitter in its infancy, I went by Jordan WS was the name. Yeah. And that was how I branded myself. And so W_S felt like it was apropos for that. And it just stuck around. You know, I feel like it's very rare that someone makes a social media account as a tween and the username is not totally cringy and just terrible. And I feel very lucky that mine was pretty normal and pretty even keel. So I've kept it ever since. I like the consistency. And so, as you said, it's the same on both, and I'm not trying to rock the boat in any way. So yeah, there it is.
Well, I think you're, you know, great for your simplicity, but I believe, you know, that you should make your fans work hard to find you on social media. Because like with me, you know, on Instagram and Facebook, yes, it's the same name, but on Instagram, on X, it's a bit different. You got to put underscore my name underscore without the show. So, because unfortunately the W is too long for the X username, which is typical. So that's how you can find me on X. But think about this, though, you've started over 10 years ago on X on all these platforms. I came on X just over 10 years ago of January of 2014 is when I joined X. 10 years, it was mind-blowing. I just thought about this then when you mentioned about that. So mind-blowing. I've been on X for over 10 years and somehow I've got over 854 people, and I get loads of fake bots following me all the time, or now liking my stuff. So it's like, I don't know what on earth's going on there. So, you know, good on you for getting your brand out there and your personality out there for over 10 years, and be to see what comes in the next 10 years in your life. Now, we
in the next 20 years, we got that date with destiny in 20 years, man.
yes, hopefully, maybe be to see what happens in 20 years. That'd be quite the interesting thing in 20 years. You could have a family. You might not be in your family.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so, man. Knock on wood.
But we'll see about that. But you know, you mentioned earlier on about your broadcasting, about going to college and our business. Now, I did see something. I believe it's on your social media. I could be completely wrong. I saw something about radio. So Can you enlighten us about that? Is that something you might go into as well down the road? Or be, you know, maybe
something, something that I posted on social media about radio, you said?
Yes, I'm pretty sure I've seen it, because you mentioned about radio. It might have just been a tag, you might just put in as a tag on Instagram or something, but I saw it was something like radio broadcaster or something like that, or something to do with radioing. So maybe that might be a passion of yours to get into maybe in the future as well.
I'm trying to think. I know. Gosh, no, I don't. I promise, I'm not kayfabe.
No, you're fine.
I'm stumped. You know, the only thing I can think of is a dear friend of mine. She runs, Lily is her name, and she runs a show back at Chapman. She's a couple years younger than me, and she runs a show, Chapman Radio, that I've maybe promoted here and there.
Possibly.
To kind of show stuff. She does some really fantastic work. Over there running a radio show, DJing a radio show. She's had some great guests on there. I've been fortunate to be a guest on there. Actually did a full wrestling episode because she is not a wrestling fan. But I blocked it.
But you made sure she was now.
I sure did, man. I sure did. The whole conceit of the show is that someone will bring in, you know, five or six songs from a different artist, and they'll kind of chat about each song and then go through them, play the song, listen to the song, talk about the song.
Yeah.
Usually it's one artist. Like I said, it's Lady Gaga or it's Beyonce or it's Blink-182. But for me, I just brought in a litany of wrestling theme songs. So like Metalingus by Alter Bridge and Chairman's Intent by Action Bronson, of course, for Adam Copeland and Hook, and did a whole episode with her. So it could have been something about promoting that. I could have been talking about, you know, Matt Cardona, formerly known as Zack Ryder. Oh, radio, tell me everything you know. I don't know, man. I'm stumped, to tell you the truth. But as far as I know, no radio aspirations at the moment. That could change. You know, it's not too far off. And I've enjoyed our conversation here, but no direct.
Is that because of the fact that there's so many buttons you could press on a radio set that you might think, oh, what does this do? You might press the one button or something, because there's so many different dialogues, isn't there?
Very intimidated, man. Yes. No, I like I said, I like working on the commentary desk. We have, you know, a mute button if we need to cough or something, a cough button, as they call it. And sometimes there's a talk back button, maybe a little dial to adjust the volume. But other than that, it is straightforward. And I like that. That is the way I like it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. So let's talk about then your goals. What are your goals for the rest of 2024 then? Because we're now in April, of course, and all that great stuff. So what can we expect for the rest of the year?
Man, it's funny. Last year, I put out a big list of goals, and I was actually really lucky to accomplish a great deal of them, which I was really proud of. I talked about, you know, new states and working X amount of shows and calling a GCW show solo and doing all this stuff, which I was really, really grateful that I, the grand majority of those I checked off. This year I didn't do that. And it's not because I don't want to grow, and it's not because I don't have dreams, but it's kind of because of what we were talking about earlier. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier where, excuse me, I don't wanna spoil anything by thinking too far ahead of like, this is what it has to look like, right? I feel like if you have this perfect image of it has to be like this, it has to be at this company, at this time, with these people, you're setting yourself up for failure, because 99%, it's a 99% chance that that's not what it's going to be. You can't predict the future. The future is crazy. There's so many variables that you can't control, that you can't even conceive of. And so I think, again, I would be doing myself and the amazing journey that I'm on and the amazing dream I'm getting to live a disservice if I planned too far ahead as to, oh, I need to be doing this, I need to be doing that, I need to make it here. To be honest with you, man, and I've said this on a couple of other podcasts, I just want to continue to grow. I want to make my schedule busier. I want to be doing cooler stuff more consistently. I feel really, really lucky that my time in wrestling and my journey in wrestling these last 3 years or so has been a pretty upward trajectory. I feel like I haven't ever felt stagnant or ever felt like I've plateaued, and I want to keep that going, even if it's a couple of inches. I want to keep growing and keep reaching higher and higher, and whatever that means, I am genuinely and truly okay with. Again, very political answer, sounds like a very, you know, politician thing, like, oh, I'm open to anything and I'm ready for anything, but it's the truth. It is 100% the truth. As long as I'm growing and as long as I'm continuing to love what I'm doing, I can't ask for more. So I guess it's a very roundabout way of saying growth would be the goal. General growth would be the goal for the rest of 2024, whatever that looks like.
Yes, whatever that looks like. I want to say, because you keep mentioning politician, political, is that a bit of a tease of what we could see down the road then? Maybe you running for office, running for governor?
Me?
Or mayor?
Oh, no. No, no, no. Again, not smart enough and also too much of a wuss to ever do that.
You might be quite good at it. You never know.
True. I maybe I would be, and I appreciate you saying that.
I don't think you need to be smart. I think we already learned that already.
You should be smart, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
You don't have to be smart.
I don't know, man. That is given the some of the folks involved in this election coming up, you may be right, but no, keep me away from that, man. I'm not cut out for it. Even if I could do it, even if I have the brains for it, even if I have the mouth for it, I'm not sure any of that's true. But let's say it is. I'm not cutthroat enough. I'm too sensitive. I'm too much of a wuss, man. I could not do it. But okay. I appreciate the faith, but
well, you're very welcome. I just thought the fact you keep mentioning politician. I thought people watching or listening to this will think, is he gonna run for politician? So I thought, there you go, there's a question, there's an answer for you. You know, when are you gonna be coming to this country? Manchester, UK, London, England, Glasgow. We're going to come over here and you know, get a respectful audience to enjoy your work.
I would love that, man. I am ready whenever. Genuinely and truly, I have a passport. I am ready to travel. I'm ready to make that happen. And if there is someone out there who is willing to make that happen, some promotion, some promoter who is willing to make that happen, I would love nothing more. I love the United Kingdom. I've never been. I've never had the good fortune of going to Europe at all. But I love what I've seen and heard of from the United Kingdom. There's a lot of different bucket list items and bucket list places that I'd love to check off being over there. And also a great wrestling scene. Yeah. I had the good fortune of spending a few days, I believe it was this past August, with Leon Slater. I'm sure you're familiar, signed to TNA now, but a very successful independent wrestler for a very long time from the United Kingdom. 19 or 20 years of age, I wanna say, a very, very young cat, younger than me. And
younger than me as well. You're making me like I'm old, eh?
I don't wanna say it, man. No, he's a prodigy, man. He's incredible. And I had the good fortune of, he crashed with me for a couple of days, traveled with me for a few days when he was in town for GCW here in Los Angeles. And just talking to him and hearing about what the United Kingdom was like, both from a personal standpoint, what the wrestling scene was like in the United Kingdom. It sounds great. And I would love nothing more than to be over there. It is
Well, let's test your knowledge then. What did he say to you about the actual place, the United Kingdom? What did he say about the place?
Well, he was not the biggest fan. I'll tell you that much. He said, you know, it's home obviously, but he said that, you know, it was pretty gray and rainy. And that, you know, it was no California.
It's not always raining over here. You know, we do have some gorgeous summer times over here. Trust me, you know, from April, you know, to like, I think like to August, I think one year in the past 3 years or so, it's been lovely and sunny weather. So it's not always rainy over here.
I take it up with Leon, man. Again, this is becoming the call out hour. First Scarlett Donovan.
What else did he say?
Man, I'm trying to think.
You mentioned about the culture, about the wrestling.
Yeah, no, I mean, just talking about some of the food out there, which I was, you know, I've heard some mixed reviews from some other friends.
Oh yeah, who have, what,
ventured over.
What type of food?
Well, you know, they just said that pizza there is terrible, really? Which I've not been, so I can't say. But that is what they have told me.
What about McDonald's? What about the McDonald's over here?
I've heard that McDonald's, I haven't heard whether it's good or bad, but I've heard that it's pretty consistently one of the, it's one of the only things that's open. So like late night, through a training session, you know, middle of nowhere, it's one of the few options you have that is just available consistently. Whereas here in the US, we'll have McDonald's and Jack in the Box and Subway and Taco Bell. And
well, we got Subway as well. We got Pizza Hut, you know, and Domino's, obviously. Of course, well,
McDonald's is like the late night option, from what I understand. Is this correct?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, good old Domino's. Yeah, I got Domino's and McDonald's about maybe 10 minutes away from me, so it's not too far. I can just walk there if I wanted to.
I love Domino's, man. High school, I pretty much lived on Domino's because it was super cheap, and there was one that was pretty close by, and at the time I didn't have a car, and so me and my friends would always pool together however much money to order some Domino's and you know, make a night of it. So I say what you will about Domino's, but I love those Cinesticks. I love those bread bowls. That's good stuff, man. Domino's has my got my vote.
Well if you come to Manchester, UK, then you should hit me up, because I would love to hear your reaction to some of these food tastes. Like, oh yeah, try this. You're like, oh yeah, this is disgusting. Or you might think, oh, this is better than...
Are you a beans on toast kind of guy?
I have had a beans on toast, yes.
Right. That one's a little suspect to me. I don't know. I like beans and I like toast, but together...
Some people have eggs as well, because we had this discussion with Jazz last January. She came over to the UK on a UK tour once. She said, I couldn't understand why people ate beans with their eggs, or it was with the bacon or something, she said, with beans. And it's like, that's just a common thing over here. We like that. It tastes as good, but apparently in Jazz's eyes, not so much.
This is former WWE Women's Champion Jazz?
Yes, that's right. That's the one, yeah.
The legend.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I've had on, you know, Eric Bischoff here, Al Snow here, you know, all these great people over here. But I want to know, from what you've seen before coming on the show, have you enjoyed what you've seen and what you've experienced from this show today?
From this show today, I've had a great time, man. I've had a lovely chat. I'll say it one more time for old time's sake. I'm ready to do it again 20 years from now.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Who knows? Maybe in 20 years, you could be off somewhere. I could be off somewhere. That'd be quite nice. I doubt
never
it.
Know.
I doubt it. You
I really, I was just going to say, I really appreciate you having me on. It's been a lovely chat, a lovely way to start the afternoon here, and I look forward to doing it again, man. Thank you for having me.
No, you're welcome. And before we let you go, I want to know your take on this, because I always have I love asking my guests these questions, because sometimes I can make it happen, sometimes we can't. So who would you suggest to come on the show after you? Could be anyone at all. Doesn't have to be another broadcaster. It could be a pro wrestler. It could be that awful referee which you mentioned earlier on.
Love Scarlett. Nothing but love for Scarlett Donovan. You're putting words in my mouth. She's great. man, someone next to come on the show.
Because of course, as I mentioned as well, from GCW, we've had on Shane Mercer, because he has his own promotion, and you know, we talked to him about his promotion and such. So I just thought to throw that out there. Hopefully, you've had the privilege of working with him.
Who is this? I'm sorry.
Shane Mercer.
Yes, love Shane Mercer. Iron Demon. He's fantastic.
Has he ever put anybody into you yet? Because I might have to.
He is not. Thankfully, okay. No. The commentary booth has steered clear. There have been some close calls. But no, I've not been thrown or had anyone thrown in me.
maybe that's changed if he doesn't like what you say about him.
maybe. No, there's. I'm trying to think, man. There's. I would say I so appreciate you, you know, giving me the time of day and giving me this platform as a broadcaster. So I say bring on another broadcaster. No names are coming to mind immediately, but bring on someone else from the world of independent wrestling. I don't want to say, oh, broadcasters don't get enough shine, because ultimately a broadcaster is an ancillary role, and we are there not to be the stars, but to tell the story and to uplift and enhance what's actually going on in the ring, as it should be. But I always think it's cool when a broadcaster gets an opportunity to tell their story and to do what you've given me the platform to do here. So I say, an independent wrestling broadcaster, I love that you've given me this platform. I say, pay that forward to another.
That's well, thank my, you.
Take.
You know, no, you're welcome, and thank you for the suggestion. But I have to say, it's more on you because you've got way more followers than I do.
I'm being realistic here.
So you've got way more followers than I do, and it's mind blowing that you have your busy schedule, take the time to speak to somebody so little like me here this afternoon. And you know, I truly mean that. And you know, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. But I think, like, you know, with the commentary box, you know, I think it's quite dull. Not you personally. I just mean like commentary in general is quite dull. If they brought me in, I think it'd be the most entertaining show in history. I personally think it'd be the most viewed show ever because of all the reactions. And you heard it here. You know, I will throw people out there under the bus. You know, if I don't like something,
you got that Jerry King Lawler,
man. Yes.
Half the battle.
Yes, exactly. I think it'd be quite fun at that. I think it'd be quite hilarious. I think it'd be, you know, best for business. You know, I think a lot of people might have heat with me, as you would say. So, you know, it might work. I might even turn on you guys as well. You know,
that'd be quite
good.
All right, man.
That'd be quite good.
I'm waiting for the day, man. I look forward to it.
I look forward to it. For sure. But no, we'll do this again at some point soon. Before 2044, as you keep mentioning.
Right. But I full circle, it would be great.
Yes.
You know, all these years later, we can put the clips next to each other. It'd be fantastic. But if you insist, we can try and make it happen sometime.
Yeah. Well, I hope we do as well. But you can find my guest on X, who he's yet to follow me on Jordan W_S.
I'm terrible about following people back. I'm telling you, the Twitter app is dreadful, man. I will always get these notifications.
Yeah.
I should say I won't get these notifications.
Well,
I'll see it. I don't know.
I turn them off. I'm clever. I have to turn them off. I get the I don't get the blue, but I just get like when I go on there, I can see I see some other people follow me or some bots follow me. So I have to turn them off because the bots just annoy me. And also on Instagram, JordanW_S as well. He's got over 3,000 followers on both, I believe, and you know, that's why 6,000 followers combined. That's a lot of heads to keep entertained every single day.
I appreciate that, man. It's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it.
Most definitely. I like how you're also not on as many platforms as well, like TikTok or Facebook or Snapchat or that business. So you're just on the two most important ones, Instagram and X.
Yes, sir. I knew that I'd get addicted to Facebook if I...
Well, that's it. I am addicted to Facebook.
Addicted to TikTok, excuse me. Addicted to TikTok. I technically have a Facebook, but it's basically just for my mom to send me stuff. So no skin off my back there, but yeah, man, follow and retweet and share and all that good business.
Yes.
Like I said, once, thank you for having me on. It's a lot of fun.
That was my conversation with Jordan Castle there. Great chap. And I'm sure we'll be hearing his name for many more years to come as he dives further and get more exposure and more popular in the world of wrestling and beyond. But if you are listening to this today on Sunday, the 14th of April 2024, then you will know that tomorrow I will also be live on YouTube with a great singer / songwriter. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Go to my social media, find out who it is, and hopefully you can tune in tomorrow live. It's going to be a great chit chat, and then I've got another fantastic conversation coming to you on Wednesday with another singer / songwriter, and this lady does lots of different things as well, not just singing and songwriting, so she's got a lot of fingers and a lot of pies. So we'll get into that on the YouTube live on Wednesday as well. And of course, all those episodes I've mentioned to you will be posted within 24 hours after the episode has come out. So until the next episode, which will be live on YouTube tomorrow, Monday the 15th of April, or by the 16th of April on your favorite podcast sites. Hope you can tune in, and we look forward to seeing you all on the next episode. And don't forget to leave me a rating on Apple Podcasts. Give me 5 stars. And yeah, leave me a review, because it gets the algorithms to move this podcast up into the competitions of other great podcasts out there on Apple Podcasts. So if you want to see the show competing with the very best, then all you have to do is leave 5 stars and leave a rating, leave a review. It takes a minute or less to do so on Apple Podcasts. So I truly, truly mean it. And of course, you can leave 5 stars on Spotify as well. And it does the same effect on there with the algorithms by moving up the show. And until the next episode drops on your favorite podcast sites, enjoy the rest of your morning, night, evening, or afternoon.
You've been listening to The Edward Fowler Show. Subscribe and leave a rating on Apple Podcasts, or follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts to get new and flashback episodes every week. More on Facebook and Instagram at Edward Fowler Show and edwardfowlershow.com.